Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Beautiful feet. Now there's a phrase that is not very often heard. We don't usually talk about beautiful feet. We sometimes talk about a beautiful face, beautiful eyes, beautiful nose, beautiful hair, neck, shoulders, beautiful legs, beautiful hands. But seldom do we talk about beautiful feet. In fact, I don't know that I've ever heard a comment about beautiful feet. At least not for anyone other than a baby, perhaps. Sometimes we'll look at a baby's feet and say, oh, aren't they beautiful? Aren't they precious? Aren't they cute? But for grown people, we generally consider our feet to be one of the ugliest parts of our body. Crooked toes, cracked toenails, bunions, bruises, bulges. We usually prefer to hide our feet rather than open them up for inspection and display. And yet, the Bible talks about beautiful feet. And it's found in Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And that actually is a quotation from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. So not only does the Word of God make reference to beautiful feet, but it actually highlights this phrase by lifting it out of the Old Testament and quoting it in the New. And so let's consider, what is it that makes feet beautiful? And feet are beautiful, number one, because of the good news they bring. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the culmination of the message of faith righteousness that Paul has been talking about in the book of Romans. And we are told that this wonderful message of the gospel has a scope that is far and wide. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether Jew or Gentile, whether black or white or yellow, whether rich or poor, no matter who it is, educated, uneducated, third world, second world, first world, it makes no difference whatsoever. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The requirement, of course, is to call upon the name of the Lord. And what is it to call? Well, a call is a cry of urgent need, a call of desperation. A call is a cry of faith and trust. And those who call upon the name of the Lord in this way shall be saved. The Lord, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And His Lordship is emphasized here. Whoever cries to the Lord, ultimately that it's a name for God. Whoever calls upon Jesus as Lord, Jesus as God, and Jesus as sovereign ruler, and calls out to Him with this cry of urgent need and desperation, this cry of faith and trust, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, recognizing who He is and what He did in becoming man and dying on the cross, what His name represents, whoever does that shall be saved. Shall be saved from sin, shall be saved from condemnation, shall be saved from eternal judgment. For whoever, no matter who he is, no matter who she is, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This verse does not say whoever prays a prayer and asks Jesus to be their Savior or asks Jesus to be their heart. Yeah, to come into their heart, will be saved. Did I just speak blasphemy? Did I just speak heresy? So it sounds to some people. But let's be more careful to listen to what the Bible says and think about it and analyze it, not be so quick to substitute our own phraseology for what we think the Bible says, because so many times when we do that, we end up misrepresenting what the Bible teaches. It's possible to pray for the wrong reasons, for the wrong motives. You ask and you do not receive, said James, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. In other words, some people pray out of selfish motives, selfish desires, and you can even pray and ask Jesus into your heart for selfish reasons, selfish motives. In other words, you can ask him to be your Savior. You can ask him to come into your heart with the idea that now I've got an insurance policy. I've got assurance of heaven, and I can live my life the way I please and not have to worry about my sins and not have to worry about going to hell. And I assure you, dear friend, if you ask Jesus to be your Savior under that kind of thinking, with that kind of heart motive, you are not ready to die, and you have not escaped the judgment of hell. That's why it's so important to see what the Bible actually says here in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's a whole lot more strength to the idea of call than the idea of asking. All you've got to do is ask him to be your Savior. Billboards along the highway. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Ask him to be yours today. Well, you may ask him to be yours today and still be without a Savior. But whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't you see the difference? This cry, this urgent need, this desperation, this cry of faith, this cry of trust, this cry of urgency, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And conversely, whoever does not call will not be saved. And that, of course, brings us to the urgency of the worldwide proclamation of the gospel. Because if people are going to call upon him, they're going to have to know about him. And so the beautiful feet are beautiful because of the good news they bring, namely that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But these beautiful feet are beautiful because of the necessity they address. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Four searching questions. Calling requires believing. Believing requires hearing. Hearing requires preaching. Preaching requires sending. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they call without faith? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? To call upon Christ without faith in the heart is worthless, and that's why I think it is important to maintain the biblical language of calling rather than asking or praying, though a call is certainly a request. It is asking. A call is certainly a prayer, but again, notice the difference in the tone, the difference in the urgency, the difference in the strength of what is going on here. But indeed, how shall they call without faith? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man shall call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Does that mean that nobody can say the words, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit? No, what that means is nobody can actually believe in Jesus as Lord except by the work of the Holy Spirit. No man shall call Jesus Lord out of a heart of faith and conviction that this is true except the Holy Spirit has worked in his heart. And that's why putting words in people's mouths is not only unbiblical, and useless, but it is dangerous. The idea of telling a person, all right, if you want to be saved, repeat after me. Put the words in their mouth. Let them say the words. What does that accomplish? All right, to be saved, say these words. Let me tell you what to say. I'll give you the words. You say the words, as if somehow repeating certain words, a certain formula. What is this? Is this magic? Is this abracadabra? If you just say the right formula, come on now. That's superstition. That's ceremony. That doesn't accomplish a thing. Saying the right words with the lips is not any guarantee of salvation. It must be a call from the heart. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? It must be the faith of the heart. And so assuring people of salvation based upon a prescribed prayer is dangerous. And furthermore, assuring people on the basis of the prayer you heard them pray that they are now saved is most dangerous for the very simple reason that you can't see their heart. You don't know if they believed in their heart or not. You heard the words, and maybe words that you suggested to them, and on the basis of that, you now say, you're saved because you said those words, or maybe trying to be a little more careful, you might say something like, if you really believe that in your heart, you are now a child of God. The problem is that at that moment, scarcely anyone will know whether they believed those words from their heart or not. They really don't know. But the best way to tell if the words of the mouth are indeed the conviction of the heart is let those words of the mouth arise spontaneously, unprompted from a heart of faith, which they will if the faith is genuine, not by manipulating them, pressuring them, leading them, putting suggestions in their minds, putting words in their lips. That's almost a certain way to determine that those words did not come from the heart. They came from the preacher. They came from the evangelist. They came from the soul winner. They came from Mama. They came from Papa. They came from somebody else. They didn't come from the Holy Spirit of God. You put those words in their mouth. Let the Holy Spirit put faith in their heart, and then they will find some way to express that faith with their lips. If you've ever been involved in the work of the gospel, then you've had some occasions where someone really did come under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God, and you were in their presence when they began to cry out to God out of a true heart of faith. And oftentimes the words that they say are so childish and so undoctrinal and unbiblical, and maybe they don't even say the, quote, right words, end quote. But don't you realize, when these are the expressions of a genuine heart of faith, there are no right words. There are no wrong words. You can't go wrong. You really can't go wrong. It's the cry of the heart. Certainly it's being expressed by the lips, but it's the cry of the heart. It's faith in the heart. And so preach the gospel and promise salvation to those who believe, and wait for the Holy Spirit to apply that to the heart, and then the words will arise unprompted, unpressured, unsuggested to the lips. And that will more likely be the genuine expression of a believing heart. Until tomorrow, Greg Bartman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.